This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. While there has been more attention paid to the issue and people are beginning to more openly discuss it, it remains far too hidden in the shadows. Many of you have seen it. Many experienced it, either directly or through the personal relationships with immediate and extended family or in your circle of friends. Even then, we mostly speak about it in hushed tones. This is a month to put the issue of domestic violence on loudspeaker and bring it further into the light. My guest this morning is a voice you've heard before on WEMU. Barbara Neese May is Executive Director of Safe House Center. Thank you for joining us today, Barbara. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We've been doing this for a long time together. You've been at Safe House Center for, what, 15 years?
And 17 years. This month, yep.
How are we better today than we were when we first sat and had our conversation?
Our numbers are way higher. When I think about what we were doing 17 years ago versus what's happening now, certainly we're seeing way more calls for our crisis line, more calls for shelter, more people engaging in support group. We started sexual assault services in 2003, which certainly added to our numbers. And I think the reason why this is good news is that survivors are more likely to reach out and get the help and support that they need.
Nationwide, domestic violence accounted for 21% of all violent crime, and while research indicates approximately 25% of women will experience it, only about 2.5% to 15% will actually report. How do we reach the others who are not?
That's a really good question, and I want to affirm that more people are reporting, and it's at a higher rate for domestic violence than for sexual assault. We still have a long, long way to go for survivors of sexual assault to report. I think people are still hooked on the idea that stranger sexual assault is the primary form of sexual assault.
And it's not at all.
It's not at all. In fact, most sexual assaults happen with somebody that's known to the victim, the survivor, and they are less likely to report that because the person is known to them. When we get into situations where there's drinking or there maybe have been some flirtation, but she said no, this is where it starts to be a gray area for our society. And this is where we need
certainly for the judicial system.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And that's why, you know, people talk. And if they say, well, I didn't experience justice here or experience justice there, then they're not even going to try and report. And I know that there are good people, good actors in our system. But the reality is that there isn't enough support for survivors and enough understanding and enough resources to prosecute the cases so that survivors can experience justice and then assailants are held accountable.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU when we continue our conversation with Safe House Center Director Barbara Neese May. We are marking Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We have an economy in which the haves have more and the have-nots have less, and it seems to be a growing disparity. Does economics play a role in how we treat domestic violence and how survivors are able to get out of the cycle?
It plays an enormous role. I would say that 9 times out of 10, survivors don't leave because they don't have the financial resources to take care of their families. When we see survivors coming into our shelter, approximately 40% stay for a couple of weeks, and then another 60% are there to say, I need to get out, I'm done. Of that 60%, approximately half return or go into unfavorable living situations because they can't afford to be on their own, but they're also fearful for their life if they go back to the assailant. What also exacerbates this is that being in a domestic violence situation is not considered homeless by HUD. I mean, we're talking about the politics of poverty.
Right.
And I think this is what's so challenging is that we talk about how domestic violence can affect anybody at any time. And there are a lot of survivors that may actually have the financial means but still don't feel like they can do it because they want to keep a certain standard of living for their children, which is completely understandable. What we see at Safe House are approximately 95% of those who are in our shelter are very low income or no income. And it's often because of the assailant. They have run out of resources completely because of the relationship reasons.
What do you say to the folks who might say, it's not my business, I don't want to get involved?
Oh, it's everybody's business. If we all don't pay attention to this issue and offer help and support to survivors in the way that's helpful to them. And that's what's key, is that we want to do what we want to do or what we think we would do in that situation. And the reality is that we need to be there in the way that survivors need us to be there and to do as they ask.
As we mark Domestic Violence Awareness Month, our conversation with Safe House Center Executive Director Barbara Neesmay continues on 89.1 WEMU. Domestic violence, sexual assault, sexual harassment, it's all a form of oppression.
Truth be told, until we deal with oppression as a whole overall issue and all the isms that are attached to it, then domestic violence and sexual assault will continue. However, we can certainly make strides in how our society thinks about it. For example, think about Mothers Against Drunk Driving, thinking about the anti-smoking initiatives, and recently the Me Too and sexual harassment. We have certainly started to say, this is wrong and it cannot continue. Some people don't understand why it's wrong, but we can certainly change public perception of you just can't do it. Some people may not understand that, and that's going to be yet our next frontier.
I've mentioned a couple of times it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and you're going to be holding a special march, rally, and vigil on Tuesday, October 29th. It all begins at Frog Island Park. There's going to be a march to Riverside Park for a vigil there. All are welcome and probably should wear purple. What is going to be the message to the gathering?
The message to the gathering is that domestic violence is right here in our town. It can happen to anybody, and we all know someone who has experienced it, whether or not we know that that's happened to them. And these kinds of demonstrations show survivors that they can see and feel that there is help and support for them. We're going to have other groups joining us. Mothering Justice is going to be joining us. Moms Demand Action are going to be joining us. There's going to be lots of different groups there because we recognize that we need to coalesce together to end all of these different types of injustices so that we can support one another and that survivors can have the help and support they need.
Some might listen and say, that sounds like it's a bunch of women by and for women. Most of the behaviors that need to be changed when it comes to domestic violence and sexual assault, most, is male-oriented. How important is it to get men out to these rallies, to get men educated, aware, and then involved in being more a part of the solution?
I think it's key. We just wrapped up our men's campaign where we had over 185 men in our community sign up to say, we stand with Safe House Center and the message that they're wanting to send to the community that sexual assault and domestic violence are wrong. And it also raised over $50,000 for the services that we provide at Safe House Center for the much needed services. And so there are men in this community who are saying, we stand with you and we recognize how much of a problem this is and that we are going to talk to our daughters about it, we're going to talk to our sons about it, and we're going to hold the men in our lives accountable for this behavior.
While more people are getting involved, as you mentioned at the outset, there are more people reporting, more people coming forward, and more people are seeking assistance and getting help. However, your shelter is always full up. Your helpline is always ringing. So there's going to be a greater need in this community for greater services and greater access to safety. How are we going to get there?
Well, our board is actually really grappling with that issue right now. We are in a situation where we know we need to hire more staff. We need to have more people in front of people who are in crisis. But we're also looking beyond that. We don't know exactly why an assailant decides that it's a good idea to be an assailant because it's a learned behavior. And I think a lot of people forget that. They think it's related to substance abuse or mental health or how they were raised.
Those are exacerbating factors.
Yes, they are only exacerbating factors. Assailants learn how to be assailants in our society and in their homes almost equally. We don't know the most effective ways to teach them to unlearn the behavior. Right now, all of the studies are focused on recidivism. But the reality is that so many assailants escape any kind, especially if they do it multiple times, escape any kind of criminal accountability. So we don't know if, in fact, those programs are making a difference. They show some promise, but we really need to be talking to survivors over a long period of time, seeing what is working, what is not working.
In the immediate future, do we need to expand the shelter and make access more amenable to those in need?
We actually need more affordable housing in our community. because we have people that stay 60, 90, 120 days in our shelter, which is meant to be an emergency shelter. We're there to see people through. And if they need to stay that long until they can get into some measure of affordable housing, we get that. But the reality is if we had more affordable housing, then people could move out and move along and away from the emergency shelter. I mean, I love what we do at Safe House, but it's not the best place for women and children. I mean, everybody there is traumatized, and it's good for a while because they're around other people who are experiencing the same thing and they have immediate access to support groups. But I would venture to say that after, you know, 30, 60 days, it's exhausting, and that if they could have their own place and begin their life fresh and start the healing process, I think that they would definitely opt for that.
And that's why all of these groups are going to work in concert with one another at the upcoming rally, because all of the issues are connected in one way or another, and they all need to be addressed in order to solve each of them.
Exactly. And we do need to join together on these issues, because we need a larger voice to say that this is what we won't tolerate in our community.
That is Barbara Neesmay, Executive Director of Safe House Center and Domestic Violence Awareness Month. March rally and vigil is going to be held Tuesday, October 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. Begins at Frog Island Park in Ypsilanti. All are welcome and encouraged to wear purple. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.